here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Vet Medica Swine Health Seminar in Denver. I'm speaking with Dr. John Patience, who did a presentation at the seminar today on some of the challenges that come with the opportunity of expanding the base of dietary ingredients for hog producers. First of all, Dr. Patience, what are some of the challenges that you talked about just in general that come with expanding the base of dietary ingredients?
Well, when we're used to using corn and soybean meal, those are relatively uniform ingredients. Now that we've moved to using products like wheat middlings and bakery byproduct and distiller's grains and so on, those are ingredients that are quite variable in their nutrient composition. So we have to do a lot more quality control, for example. We have to understand that whole process. We also have to make sure that when we use those ingredients that they fit into our feed manufacturing system. Some of these ingredients are a lot less dense bulk-wise, and so a mixer that might be a one-ton or two-ton mixer with corn and soy might only be 75% of that if we're using these less dense ingredients. So that's another concern that producers have.
Now, when you talked about quality control, the question you brought up was, what are you supposed to measure, and what are you supposed to do with that information? And did you have an answer to that question?
No. Yeah, it's a real challenge. I mean, the proper approach to take is to determine what you need from a feed formulation point of view and from a food safety point of view, and that's what you analyze for. And then you use fairly common statistical procedures to determine when you should be making adjustments to your ingredient matrix when you get the outcome from those quality control samples.
Now, you also talked about pig performance, and maybe some people have fears that that performance will suffer if they add new ingredients. And what was your response to that?
Well, it might suffer, but if it suffers, it should suffer in a knowing way. So, for example, fundamentally, we should get the performance that we expect when we use byproduct ingredients, just like when we use corn and soybean meal. There's millions and millions and millions of pigs fed around the world on these kinds of diets, and they do achieve predictable performance on them. The important thing, however, is that we determine what it is we want our diets to look like. So, for example, if we're using byproducts which are lower in energy, then we know that the pigs are going to grow slower unless we add a lot of fat to the diet. The most economical way may be to allow those pigs to grow slower, and they take another 5 to 7 days in the barn, but overall the farm makes more money.
You had a real focus on distiller's grains, obviously, because that with ethanol production, there's more and more distiller's grains in the feed market out there. So what do you suggest to producers as they're incorporating distiller's grains into their diets?
Well, in a sense, I think distiller's grains is kind of old news. Yeah. Because people have been using distiller's grains now for 3, 4, 5 years. Any problems that accrued from lack of experience have all been addressed now. We know what the issues are. It's just a question of implementing them. So there's nothing magical about distiller's grains. I think the biggest problem that we still have is that people hear some stories about somebody fed distiller's grains and this is what happened, and that becomes a bit of an old wives' tale, and it survives for some reason. We're seeing diets now with 20% or less corn in them. It's whatever's economical. It's whatever's going to make the most money for the producer and produce a carcass quality that is desired by the packer and a quality of pork that's desired by the consumer. And that's what it's all about. And distiller's grains or any other ingredient is just a way of achieving that final outcome that we want.
Well, your bottom line was when you look at adding a new ingredient, you have to look at the gross savings and how and what it needs to be balanced against, right?
That's correct. When if we're using distiller's grains, for example, and we're going to save, let's say, and the amount you save will vary because the prices vary relative to corn, but let's say you're going to save $5 a ton. Well, you can't assume that $5 is going to go directly into your pocket because you have to, for example, pay for quality control. That has a cost associated with it. You have to take into account, does it have any impact on the capacity of your feed mill? Because that could have an impact on dollars and cents. So I think the real key is that producers need to go into using these ingredients with complete information so they can make informed decisions and get the predictable outcome that they're seeking.
You also gave some recommendations on developing a feeding program, putting in new, using newer ingredients, and your philosophy in putting one together.
Yeah, the first step, and whether we're using byproduct ingredients or not, is it doesn't change anything. The first thing we need to do is know our pigs and the genetics and the health and what our objectives. Do we want 1.7 pounds a day? Do we want 1.5 pounds a day? Do we want 1.9 pounds a day? And then once we know that, then we can say, okay, these are the nutrient levels that need to be in the pig's diet to achieve that performance. Because obviously a pig that's growing 1.9 pounds a day needs more nutrients in the diet than a pig that's growing 1.7 pounds a day. So once we know what the nutrient requirements are, then we decide what are the sources of those nutrients. Is it corn, soy, wheat mids, distiller's grains, bakery byproduct, various other corn byproducts, might be whey. It can be any number of things, but whatever is the most economical. Then we put it together as a complete feeding program to give us the outcome that we want in terms of pork quality, in terms of net income, because that's really the bottom line.
Well, you're a professor of animal science at Iowa State. What kind of research and studies are being done right now on these newer ingredients?
Since I got here, I haven't really done a lot of work directly on distiller's grains because there's lots of other people doing work on distillers. Now, we did do one study recently where we fed 60% distiller's grains in a commercial research facility. And so we're pushing the envelope a little bit there to see. But if we can be successful at 60, then we know a pork producer can easily be successful at 40 or 50. But what we're really interested in is breaking the distiller's grain down into constituent parts, and our particular interest is fiber. Because when we fed corn and soybean meal, there was very little fiber in a pig's diet. But now with distiller's grains, where we've got much more fiber in the diet, and we really don't know how the pig is going to respond to that fiber. And the problem is compounded because we can look at European research, and they've done research on fiber for 25 years, excellent quality research, but it's on different ingredients. And the fiber in corn is structurally different than the fiber in the ingredients they were working on. So we can't just go and look at their research and apply it here. We have to do some, we can certainly learn from their research, but we have to do a lot of it ourselves here. And that's one of the key areas we're focusing on at Iowa State.
Well, regarding the complexity of formulations these days, you talked about energy in the diet and how energy sources are not the same. Explain that.
Well, yeah, that's one of the greatest complexities, that if I want to study lysine, I can analyze for lysine itself. If I want to study phosphorus in the diet, I can analyze for phosphorus. And I can determine their availability, and I get a sense of what the diet is going to supply to the pig. But when I'm studying energy, energy is not a singular nutrient. It's actually a combination of energy supplied by protein, by starch, by fat, and by fiber in the diet. And the pig uses each one of those slightly differently. So in order to use the energy content of the diet most effectively, we have to understand how that pig uses that energy. And that's our second priority research area at Iowa State.
Should producers be concerned with minimums and maximum levels of different feed ingredients?
It's very, very common when we're setting up a formulation for diets to put on minimums and maximums. We'll put on a maximum of fat because if we put too much fat in the diet, it won't flow, for example. If we put we might put a limit on the amount of lysine because we know that if we put in too much synthetic lysine in a diet, pigs don't use it very well. But fundamentally, for the major ingredients like corn and mids and distillers, in a perfect world, we would have no limits. The limit would be dictated by cost and nothing else. But because we live in a less than perfect world, we do sometimes put limits on because we know that, for example, in distiller's grains, we know we can go to 30% of the diet without blinking. That's not even a question. We can go to 40% and we might start to see some issues there. And if we go to 50%, we'll see even greater issues. So depending on my philosophy, I might put a limit of 30% on the distillers so I don't have to deal with any issues. Or I might be a little bit more risk tolerant and want to save more money, so I'll go up to 40% or 50% or 60%. But we set those limits primarily because we're lacking in information.
Overall, do you think that having these new types of dietary ingredients, you talked about this as being an opportunity, but there's challenges. Do you think this is an exciting thing, a good thing for producers to get into now that we have more choices?
It's exciting, but more than anything, it's just necessary. It's essential. If we're going to be successful in the pig industry, if our industry is going to continue to be a world leader, we're going to have to be a world leader in nutrition. And right now, the Europeans have a lot more experience with using these diverse kinds of diets than we do. But we're catching up. And one thing about our industry, it's extremely innovative. It's extremely responsive to new information. It's always looking for ways to do better. And that has really shown itself remarkably well in the last 5 years.
Here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Vet Medica Swine Health Seminar in Denver, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.